Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. An hour earlier today in the United States on Monday, March 11th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Howdy.
That's a new one. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I don't know what to say now.
I always forget.
I set a high bar, and it's just not fair. I apologize.
I just need to stop going alphabetical so nobody has to follow Brian.
Let me try
I always
again.
Find it hard to follow in Brian's wake.
Let me try it again.
Hello, it's very good to be here.
That should be easier to...
It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
It totally is. Buckle up. All right. So the first thing we want to talk about, interestingly enough, is a bit of personal business. Charlotte is in the market for a new computer. And
so is
Brian. So
it's not a happy bunny today.
We're going to talk a bit about what goes into that. Now, the one piece of advice most people will give you is if you need it, just go buy it. And it, you know, if you're somebody that's like, I know that my computer is reaching the end of its life, but I know that like functionally it's not a concern and I can wait. That's a very different conversation from my hard drive has crashed or it ceases to turn on or only 30% of the time can I get it to do anything resembling function. So
hiya.
So that's a different story. So Charlotte, it sounds like you are interested in getting an iMac. You have a MacBook Pro now and you're interested in switching to the desktop machine, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
That is what I'm leaning towards. Not only because it's shiny pretty, although it is very shiny pretty.
Very, very.
But also because I think value for money, you get a lot of power and a nice monitor and all the things I would want it for, mm-hmm. For much better value for money than a MacBook Pro.
Do you work like in coffee shops and stuff?
Sometimes, but, and I'll whisper this on this show, I have a little cheap £150 Chromebook that I use for kind of just doing emails and stuff on the go.
That sounds really heavy to take to a coffee shop.
See what you did there.
I don't particularly need the portability of a MacBook. I've always had MacBook Pros before and obviously loved them, but power and functionality and not going to be replaced next week is more important to me, mm-hmm. than because I do coffee shop working and that kind of thing, go work in local libraries and things like that. Mm-hmm. That is something I do, but that can be balanced out.
Now, I know the plural of anecdote is not data, but I do know a number of...
See what you did there.
I do know a number of people who have gotten to the point where an iPad and a keyboard are good enough for the occasional coffee shop thing. And then... like the computing power is on their desk in some fashion. Some people have a Mac Pro. Some people have an iMac, like you're considering. Some people, now that the new Mini is out, have taken the new Mini and hooked it to some massive, amazing monitor or three and gone that route instead. So I do know a lot of people who I think, and what's funny to me about this is that this comes down to the technological honesty that I always talk about. Like when you look at iPads and stuff, you know, when people are upgrading their old computer, maybe an iPad is all you really need. But what some people are doing is saying, like, I don't take my computer as many places as I thought I would when I bought a laptop in the first place. And right. I don't go a lot of places. I don't take it with me. It's not as portable as I thought I needed. And so I can have something that lives on my desk all the time. And then the occasional thing here and there, I can take a Chromebook, an iPad. I don't know what Android tablets there are now, but things like that. I can buy this other ancillary piece of technology and use that the once in a while that I'm out and about instead of having it be my primary computer.
Yeah. Basically, my logic was I don't really want to be taking a £2,000 MacBook Pro onto the tube in London anyway.
And it's a good idea. Serious.
No, that's a good idea. Like, I've had bags stolen in coffee shops in London. I don't want to risk. I like as much as possible. I try and not take the MacBook Pro in it where around because it's, you know, it's a expensive machine. Look, if someone wants to steal a £150 Chromebook, okay, fine. If like
yeah. It's much less it's painful to be annoying. Out a Chromebook than a MacBook. All
right. So what's the issue?
First of all, what size screen do I want, Brian?
27-inch.
Really?
In discussion, yeah.
But it's very big.
It is.
It is.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
I rest my case.
Right, there you go. Very good. Lovely. And but we definitely think desktop is the way to go.
That is so incredibly subjective. There is no outside answer. To answer that, but it sounds like you are ready for a desktop. It sounds like you are ready to that you're ready to favor your Mac use for home rather than mobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and want to be able to do heavy duty. Like,
so what's the issue?
No, I'm happy with that. My other issue is we've been talking a lot and writing a lot on Mac Observer about an upcoming Apple event within March 25th. Mm-hmm. Maybe. We think it's like it's the kind of date that's floating around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not confirmed by Apple yet. Do we think if the said event happens, we're going to see Tim Cook or one of his execs walk on the stage and present a nice new iMac?
It's possible.
It is possible.
It's not likely, right. But it's possible. I mean, the iMac is overdue.
Correct.
In my opinion, it was last updated in 2017.
Yes.
Yep.
The Coffee Lake update, I think it is mm-hmm. whatever the most recent Intel update is, essentially 9 months overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those examples of Apple doing less and less with more and more. And give me some freaking new iMacs because I don't want to pay today's prices for yesterday's technology. And that's why I'm sitting here looking at my 2015 iMac and have not updated because I'm not paying 2019 prices for 2017 technology. I'm not doing it.
Right. And this Pro. Is my dilemma.
Well, okay. But that's the flip side of this entire thing.
Yes.
Right? You have to get a new Mac.
Yes.
You have now, to get a new device.
But do I want to try and last 3 weeks?
That's up to you. I don't know what state your computer's in. But the other thing I would
not
point out is, yes, the iMac is beautiful, but have you considered a mini? Which is the same sort of desktop thing. You can pick out some gorgeous 27-inch monitor and use that and make that an option instead. Because that was updated the end of last year.
You're not going to get a 27-inch 5K display, though. That's the thing you're getting with the iMac.
So can we talk about this 5K thing first of all?
Yeah.
Because 5K is marketing guff, isn't it? 5K is not a thing. 4K is a thing.
What do you mean?
Like, the human eye, there's a point where 4K, 5K, it doesn't really make much difference. That is, as I understand it, feels
like 5K is going to put your 4K video up there and give you another 1,000 pixels of interface.
For toolbars and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the whole point of 5K.
Hence why it's a bigger device.
Yes.
But, no, there are 27-inch 4K and 27-inch not 4K devices out there.
Yeah, no, but not
27K, a 27-inch 5K device is particularly aimed at video professionals because you can edit 4K video and still have 1,000 pixels.
For toolbars and stuff.
Toolbars
right.
And stuff.
Because we've written a lot about, you know, there's been stuff around 8K and what's that? And I have to say I'm slightly
that's gonna be a while. Going the Mac Mini route that Kelly just mentioned is certainly a viable option, and it would probably be a cheaper option, at least in some ways, depending on the quality of the monitor you got. Won't be getting that gorgeous Apple 5K display.
Right.
So the real issue for you is do you get a new machine when, oh my God, there might be a new machine around the corner? And in general, my recommendation is that the best new Mac is the one on your desk.
Yeah.
Right? Well, seriously.
Yeah.
I can absolutely wait. I've got a 2015 iMac. Oh my God, poor me. I want a new one, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yep.
I can wait. Your MacBook Pro is breaking.
I mean, we're way past that stage.
Yeah, what is it? Does?
Like, I mean, there was some quite severe surgery required to get it to turn on today.
Yeah. So, at this point, it's mostly a question of which one you're going to get, because, like, you don't, the horizon for you is much closer. What I will say is that what we've mostly heard about the event that's coming at the end of the month is about streaming.
Yeah, we think it's going to be, if it happens, we think it's going to be a services event, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why it's possible. Right. Event. Which is why it's possible they could come out and go, hey, we've got new MacBooks and new iMacs, and you know what would look great on those? Our new streaming shows. Like, but that's really unlikely. Like, yeah.
It is really unlikely. And it's also possible that Apple would not mention new Mac hardware at a media event because, you know, these days it's LOL Mac at Apple. At least that's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. And even if they're going to announce it at that time, it wouldn't be part of the media event, but it would be announced, you know, in a press release.
Right. Because what they want is for us the next day to only have the streaming stuff to talk about and not, did you see that new iMac Pro? Did you see how cool it looks?
To be fair, they don't really care what we're talking about.
I mean, in general, the next day. Yeah.
I've heard Tim Cook listens to TDO every day. This is, you know, he's a big fan of our work.
No
they,
pressure.
They care about us.
He only listens when you're on Charlotte.
Fair.
So, if you need a new Mac, go get what's available. And if, you know, if maybe get a refurb model, if you're, you know, cranky like me, like right now, I would probably buy, if I had to buy a new iMac today, it would probably be a refurb model out of principle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I'm cranky about paying 2019 prices for 2017 technology. Sure. But
I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Have you met my friend Brian?
Yeah, exactly. But if I had to get a new Mac, like if, you know, if my iMac exploded, which would be really inconvenient right now because I'm recording a show.
We're in the middle of a show.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the show. But if my iMac exploded, I'd go get a new iMac.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be really cranky about it, but that's what I'd do. So, I mean, you know, if it needs must when the devil drives, is the phrase I like to invoke here. And
yeah, I think that's probably good advice.
Yeah. So, Charlotte, we will talk about this more in the future. If any of you
have a new shiny pretty.
When you have a new one. And if you have any advice for Charlotte before she has to go shop for a new computer, you can give that to us by leaving a comment in the show notes on today's show. You can find us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can email observations@macobserver.com. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a moment talking about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is ExpressVPN. And as you know, when I have Andrew on the show, we're generally talking about data breaches and what's happening to your information. And you're being tracked online by everybody, and everybody else is trying to steal your stuff, it seems like, these days. So one of the ways that you can help prevent that happening is by using a VPN. And ExpressVPN is an easy-to-use apps that run in the background. It's one click on and one click off. So when you're out and about, you can turn it on. No worries there. Your data is secure because it's encrypted. And all of that information is anonymized, including your public IP address. And you can get this service for less than $7 a month. And ExpressVPN is the number one rated service by TechRadar. It has a 30-day money-back guarantee. And here's what you can do. As a TDO listener, I can give you 3 months free with a 1-year package by going to expressvpn.com/TDO. That's expressvpn.com/TDO. And that's 3 months free with a one-year package. We'd like to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring the show today. Our other sponsor today is Capterra. And Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software for your business. They have over 700,000 reviews of software from actual users of the software. So anything you're looking for, you can make a pretty informed decision about. And whatever you're looking for, you will probably find, because there are more than 700 categories to choose from. And this is everything from big categories like project management or supply chain management software to something very, very specific like optometry practice management, which is an actual category that I saw on their site. So no matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. So go to capterra.com/TDO for free today and find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. That's CAPTERRA.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Capterra for sponsoring the show today. Our second topic is Elizabeth Warren, and not just Elizabeth Warren, but Elizabeth Warren's ideas about tech. And on the surface, what she's saying sounds like a reasonable thing. Because on the surface, what she's saying is there should be a little bit more regulation of these tech companies. Here, there's some stuff happening there that's maybe not great, and it should be addressed. That sounds pretty good. But then when you get down into the nuts and bolts of her proposal, maybe not so great. So, Charlotte, you wrote about this, right?
Yes. So let's go back to last week where Elizabeth Warren said companies like Amazon was one she picked out and Google was another should be broken up. Mm-hmm. And what her objection was companies both producing apps and running a marketplace in which those apps were stolen. Were sold.
Yeah, stolen is a different subject. We'll probably end up talking about that with Andrew later this week.
Yeah. Apps do get stolen, but that's a different thing. No, so that was her objection. And people noticed that the company she didn't name when discussing this was Apple, mm-hmm. which obviously has an app store from which you can buy Apple and non-Apple apps.
Yes.
In an interview with Nilay Patel of The Verge over the weekend at South by Southwest, she said that she did actually also mean to include Apple in that and believes it should be, the company should be broken up in that way. There was, I think if you read the interview, she kind of compares stuff to how the American railroads were broken up as well, because people, you know, coal companies and things were steel companies, were trying to both own the rails on which they transported the steel and own the steel as well. Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, it's 2019.
So of course everyone remembers the big battle about the big battles over railroads. Brian, I believe you had a very decisive statement about this earlier.
Balderdash.
I was waiting for the impromptu song about wrong.
Well, but I'm utterly empathetic to the idea of regulating at least some tech companies.
Right. Like I said, on the surface, what she's saying sounds good.
But no, it did, not even on the surface, actually, because her argument is akin to, and I was trying to think of a good analogy. It's like wanting to break up the problem of 7-Elevens because of the color and their logo. That's not the issue. And the issue of these platforms.
Now I'm just distracted because I'm trying to figure out what the problem is with 7-Eleven. But
well, I was
I'm kidding. I didn't sorry,
say it's the day after daylight savings time. The change. I have no sleep. None. So
what's 7-Eleven?
It's a chain of convenience stores. Okay. How about it? It's like trying to solve the problem of layabouts hanging out in front of the 7-Eleven by changing the eliminating the color green out of their logo. It's not related to the problem.
Okay.
Like there's plenty of problems with Facebook and Facebook and the Google and the Amazon, but I think them selling products on their own platforms is not really it.
No.
And maybe it is. Like, Google certainly has been caught manipulating its search results to favor its own services. That absolutely should not be allowed.
Right.
And Google has been stopped from doing so. Now, whether or not they continue to do so is another issue.
Right.
And Amazon certainly does have, I think Amazon is probably the best example of what she's talking about here, where Amazon gets to use all of the data that it has on what people are buying and what products people are browsing to then decide what products to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that she's trying to solve here. And Amazon has everybody at a huge disadvantage when it comes to making its Amazon Basics products. Okay.
So, yeah, having the issue be Amazon Basics is pretty clear cut. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I buy Apple's $30 phone cable when I can buy Amazon's $8 phone cable?
Right. And
All from Amazon, by the way. Yeah.
She's trying to rope Apple into this for two reasons. One, Apple's above $25 billion, and I have a huge problem with that number. Two, talking about the fact that Apple sells apps on its own app store. Who cares? That's not an issue. It's not an issue. As a matter of fact, Apple gives away most of those.
Yeah, all the stuff that Apple has on the App Store is generally free.
And so, there's two ways, by the way she described it, there's two ways that she could quote unquote break up Apple in this particular case. One is to split out the App Store, which mm-hmm. would be just awful and ridiculous and stupid and horrible and bad for consumers.
But how do you really feel about it, Brian?
I am really, really this. Okay, so I'm getting there. And the other way would be to have Apple stop making its own apps. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would be in consumers' best interest either, from the standpoint of there are all kinds of good things that can come from Apple being able to do exactly what she's saying is a problem, which is integrate its own software with its own software,
right,
on its own hardware. There are huge, massive advantages of that.
Yes.
There are lots and lots of advantages of that, and why she would want to stop that. Like, what harm is coming to the marketplace there? I don't know what problem she's trying to solve when it comes to Apple, because right. that's not a problem. And the other thing is just this whole $25 billion thing. Look, huge companies having massive amounts of money have all kinds of potential for problems. I absolutely have some empathy with this idea. The problem is there are some things that can only be done by huge entities with huge amounts of money. I'm not sure that we want to stop all of those things from being done.
That's true.
I think it would be much better to stop abuses when they're happening.
Yes.
And for instance, so there's a couple of quotes I snagged out of this. But Charlotte, do you have anything? Like, I'm totally monologuing here.
No. And it's really interesting to listen to you, because I'm, as is often the case, I'm basically inclined to agree with you. I don't quite understand what the problem is with Apple both creating a marketplace in which developers, both big and small, can sell their wares in a trusted environment, and
the also problem is
selling their own products. I can't quite see why that's an issue.
Is that Apple is also a big company, and then people were asking her, why didn't you name Apple too?
No, I know that,
because it's a knee jerk response to try to answer criticism of.
Sure, I mean, I'm happy. Also, if you want to replace the word Google with Apple, I don't like. Apple is a particular example. I understand that, because the App Store is a much more curated, trustworthy, mm-hmm. Most of the time environment than the Google Play Store.
Yes.
I understand that. But equally, I have a stronger objection with Apple than, say, Google or Amazon, because of the time and effort Apple does spend curating apps. Mm-hmm. But I also think, as a general rule, to make I just don't see that both creating a platform and selling your products on that platform. I'm not sure, like you say, Brian, I'm not sure it's
necessarily a problem. It can be a problem. It's not necessarily a problem.
Right, exactly. Like, and I certainly don't think it's the biggest problem we need to tackle with big tech companies at the moment.
Kelly, I know that you want to rush us along, but there's a couple of quotes that I think need to be gotten into this conversation. The first is, this is a quote from her to The Verge. Quote, what I object to is when they're getting their profits because they're sucking out specialty secret information that nobody else gets, or they're getting prime placement in terms of when they show up on a search. That has nothing to do with Apple. That none of that describes Apple in any way whatsoever.
No.
Right. So she's arguing against Apple being she had was if you run a platform, and I'm quoting, where others come to sell, then you don't get to sell your own items on the platform because you have two competitive advantages. One, you sucked up information about every buyer and every seller before you've made a decision about what you're going to sell. And second, you have the capacity because you run the platform to prefer your products over anyone else's product. It gives an enormous comparative advantage to the platform. Again, that doesn't apply to Apple because it's not how Apple does things.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, I want to be able to like sit her down and say, thank you for your apology.
I hope you get to do that on ACM. And she's running for president. She wants to talk to everybody. I'm sure.
I tend to be pro. I am a managed capitalist.
Yes.
Right. I generally speaking think that regulation is in the best interest of the consumer. And I believe that there should always be tension between regulators and the free market. Too much of either becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And right now we have a lot of not regulation.
But that's true.
Her thing with Apple here is essentially nonsense.
Yes. I don't think it holds up either. We will talk more about this as events develop. So as usual, watch this space. Charlotte, thanks for coming by today.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for all the advice.
And early congrats on your new computer, whatever you end up with. Because it will still be new and shiny and do everything you want when you turn it on, which is more than you can say for the one that you have now.
I'm really excited.
Also, Brian, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
I will never turn down a Droopy Dog cameo. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.